We gather in the Lord's house in the presence of our Savior. Let us worship him this day. God's people said,
amen.
What a beautiful way to begin our time of worship. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Bert, for our prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this wet, chilly April Sunday morning. Amen? I think we've been spoiled a couple weeks. I think God reminded us he is in charge of the weather, and he wants to shake things up every once in a while, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day as we celebrate the risen Lord during this season of Easter. If you are a first-time visitor with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching us this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning online. You can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our time of worship this day. Also for the ministries we have coming up in the life of our church as well. If you are a first-time watcher online, please send me an email today or this week, and let me connect with you later on as and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Just a reminder for those that are gathered here and those that are watching online, this afternoon we are continuing our adult study, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. We've had a lot of fruitful discussion in sessions 1 and 2, and today in session 3 will be no different. That'll be at 4 p.m. this afternoon in the fellowship hall. You can join us in person for that study, or you can join us, of course, on Facebook Live for that time of study as well. Youth Intensity will also meet tonight at 5 p.m. Also, a reminder to all our ministry teams and our church members, if you have items for the May newsletter, Janice wants to remind you that it is due today. Please send an email to her so she can work on that newsletter this week. Fully expect that to be sent out at the end of this coming week. So make sure you get those items to her today, no later than tomorrow, as we prepare for the month of May. Gay wanted me to remind you, today is the deadline to sign up for the upcoming Senior Adult Luncheon on Monday, April 29th. The luncheon will be at 11:30 a.m. on that Monday. The menu includes grilled chicken, salad, baked beans, green beans, and dessert, of course, and a lot of fun, a lot of music with the likes of Ron Castile, who will be here leading us in a time of worship. So I encourage you to sign up today if your name is not on the list. There are sign-up sheets all over the place. The closest one is the one right out there in the foyer. So as you leave worship today, if you haven't signed up, make sure you put your name on that list for that time of lunch and fellowship and worship on Monday, April 29th. Also, just a reminder about things this week. Golden Years Senior Center on Tuesday at 1:30. If you'd like to go, you can talk to Sandy French about that ministry. Also, choir rehearsal is on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Last Sunday, you heard me mention the two mission collections we have going on during the month of April. Thank you for those that have brought items in for Allied Churches of Alamance County. That list that has a laundry list of things that Allied Churches needs can be found in your April newsletter. So please bring some of those items over the next couple weeks as well. And don't forget, we are putting together Elon Reading Day goodie bags. Our goal is to put together 70 bags this year, and we need your help. So please drop those items off in the Communications Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall as well. Also, just a reminder, you will notice, hopefully you noticed for the first time this week, the flyers around the church about a fellowship lunch that we have coming up on Sunday, May 5th. First Sunday in May, immediately following the worship service that day. We're going to have a church-wide luncheon and a bake sale. This is a fundraiser for our roof fund. As you know, we had to have some emergency repair work done to our roof. And we're thankful for that, because on a day like this, where it is raining, before the roof repair took place, water would be getting into our building. You wouldn't see it, but it was getting in. Now it is not, and we have to pay off that bill. So we're going to have a wonderful chicken pie lunch on Sunday, May 5th. We're encouraging everybody to come and stay for that luncheon. We're also encouraging all of you great cooks. I am not one of them. I promise you that. But all of our great cooks out there to bring a homemade dessert or a homemade baked item, and we want you to pre-price it and price it at a decent amount. Don't price it like $50 for one piece of pie. If your pie is probably that good, I promise it is, but we want somebody to purchase it, okay? And all the money that we raise at the bake sale and the donations you make for the lunch that day will all go to support that roof fund as we seek to pay that off. But mark your calendar, Sunday, May 5th. You don't need to worry and rush out to the closest restaurant. And whatever you normally would pay at that restaurant, we ask that you just drop it in the basket at the beginning of the lunch line that day for a wonderful time of fellowship on May 5th. Last but not least, as many of you know, we lost one of our cherished church members this week. Susie Louder passed away. And I encourage you to continue to remember the Louder family in your prayers. Just a reminder about the details for that service. The visitation is today from 2 to 4 at Lau's Funeral Home in Burlington. And then the funeral will be here at First Baptist Elon at 2 p.m. on Monday, followed by the graveside service at Magnolia Cemetery. So the details are there. I encourage you to continue to remember the Louder family in prayer. They cherish your prayers. Susan was an important part of our church family. Continue to lift them up in the coming days and weeks. We gather here today to worship the risen Lord. We gather here to sing praise to Him. Come, now is the time to worship.
Let's stand and sing.
This morning, opening scripture reading is a psalm we are all very familiar with. Reading Psalm 23 this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Powerful Psalm of David, words that spoken so many years ago that still speak to our hearts and minds today as we gather in this place this morning. Would you join me in prayer this day? Gracious God, in love you open wide the doors and welcome us into your presence, saints and sinners alike. You spread a table before us filled with the richest fare, a feast of love and mercy for the body and the soul. We come with joy to meet you here, to eat and drink at your table, to taste and see your goodness, to celebrate your grace and mercy in our lives this day. May your Spirit inspire our praise and our thanksgiving, our prayers and petitions as we worship together in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Savior Like a Shepherd, and then we're going to lead into Gentle Shepherd. And we're not sure that everybody knows that second song, Gentle Shepherd. So the choir's going to sing it, and y'all welcome to join the choir with it. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
For the past year, it has been a great honor for our congregation to support former Huon student and now campus outreach missionary in Lusaka, Zambia, McLean Wilson. McLean has sent a video to update us on her ministry that we would like to share with you this morning.
Hi, FBC family. My name is McLean Wilson, and I currently live in Lusaka, Zambia, working with a university ministry called Campus Outreach, working at the University of Zambia. You all have been faithfully supporting me and praying for me this past couple of years, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to say a huge thank you for all the ways that you have been involved and connected with the ministry here, and also for the recent love offering that you've collected and sent over as well. Those things are so important to me. They mean the world that you all would support me and be along for the journey. And so I'd just like to share a little bit about the ministry here and about some of the ways that God is moving. So I hope that this can be an encouragement to you. And again, I really just want you to know how grateful I am for the ways that you've been able to be a part of this work that God is doing here. So I'd like to share a little bit about how we're set up as our team. So we're partnered with a local church. The church is called Kabwata Baptist Church. And with that partnership, we have church leaders who are overseeing the ministry, as well as ministry volunteers who are church members who are also helping with the ministry as well. So we're really trying to be connected with the church, connected with locals and everything that we're doing. And our campus, our staff team and our volunteers are split into two different campus teams. So there are two main campuses that we're at here in Lusaka. One is called ZECUS, Zambia Center for Accountancy Studies, and the other one is UNZA, University of Zambia. So I am part of the University of Zambia team, so that's the campus where I spend most of my time. And a couple weeks ago we had orientation, so all the first years were coming to campus. There was tables set up where students could learn about different clubs and organizations. And through this orientation, we were able to meet about 300 first-year students. So these were students who either came to the table to learn more about our ministry and what we're doing, and also students who we were just able to go out and meet. So we're walking around campus, seeing students who were waiting around or who weren't sure what to do next. And so we started up conversations and we're able to get their numbers and invite them to be part of the ministry that way. It was super encouraging to see how open students were to having conversations, especially students who didn't come to the table but who we approached. So the Lord really went before us in opening up students and creating interest and creating good conversations even from the get-go. Another encouraging story about that is I went with Shalom, who was one of my teammates, a couple weeks ago to meet some of these first year students, and we stayed in their room for about 3 hours just chatting and playing games and hanging out. So it was really encouraging to see just how natural that relationship was, and how eager they were just to hang out, to get to know us more, to get to know about the ministry. So that's a huge praise that students really are excited about the ministry and about what's going on here. Another praise is that we have a lot of student leaders on campus. We have about 30 students who are part of what we're calling our committee, who are part of inviting students to events. Some of them are going to be leading Bible studies. They'll help plan our weekly events as well. And so that's really encouraging to have all of those students also helping us meet first years and reach out to them. Ultimately, we don't want to just be doing the work by ourselves, but we want to be training students and teaching them so that they also know how to engage with others and share the gospel with them. So it's a huge praise that we have so many student leaders who are excited to grow, who are eager, and who are already reaching out to the first-year students. So another exciting update is we're going to start having weekly meetings on campus. So this will be a chance where we can come together as a group. We can have that time as a fellowship together. And most importantly, we can just share the gospel and be a gospel presence on campus. Our very first meeting is this Friday. And so our topic is going to be, what does the Bible say about our purpose in life? Students seem to be really excited about having these weekly meetings, both our student leaders and the new students we've met. We're going to be going through basically a series about what does the Bible say about blank? And so this will give us a chance to talk about a whole range of topics that students are wondering about, they have questions about, and we'll get to dive in and explore it from a biblical perspective, as well as seeking just to be gospel focused in every meeting, in every message, in everything we do. So that's really exciting that we're able to do these weekly meetings and able to have a space where people can just come together. So one more encouraging story for you. There was a student who used to be a student at UNSA and recently transferred to another campus. And she had a desire and a heart to continue doing ministry work on her new campus. And so she started a Bible study on that campus and already has 12 students who are involved with this Bible study. So this is just a beautiful example of what we're trying to do as a ministry, even as we're reaching out to students, sharing the gospel with them, leading Bible studies. Ultimately, we want to be empowering our students to go do the same thing. So again, this is just a beautiful example of one student who the Lord knew exactly where to place her, that she was at UNSA for a time, and now on this different campus, she's able to be a gospel presence there, is able to share the gospel with these new students. So some of the ways you can pray for us in light of all of this, you can pray for all of the first-year students we've been connected with, that they would continue to be excited, they would continue to come to events, continue to desire to know more about God and the gospel. You can pray for our weekly meetings, that those would be successful, that it would be a place where students feel loved, but also challenged and convicted by the things they're learning. And pray also for our student leaders, that they would continue to be mobilized, continue to be trained and equipped to go out and share the gospel and love others with the gospel as well. So again, just want to say another thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the ministry here. All of these stories you just heard are possible because of your prayers, because of your giving. You truly are making a difference in the lives of these students in Lusaka. So again, so grateful for you all. Please let me know also how I can be praying for you as a church. And again, feel free also to reach out individually if you have personal comments or personal prayer requests. I would love to partner with you all in that way. Thank you so much.
Please continue to lift up McLean and the other missionaries in Zambia and Lusaka as they spread the love of Christ. And you can already see how the message of Christ is spreading outside of Lusaka to other campuses in Zambia. So continue to pray for her in the coming weeks and months. And she has other updates. We will share those with you when they come. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon April Riley for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray together. Good and gentle shepherd, we have come into your house this morning to refresh our spirits and our hearts for whatever another week holds for us. May we also be mindful and thankful of all the blessings you give us daily as we worship and praise you with our voices and with our offerings. In our giving, we are where we are in Elon to help others where they are. Caring is our calling. May we always be the gift to others who need the resources you give us, our helping hands or a kind word. Keep us firm in our faith and loyal in our service to you. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Would you join with me in prayer before we encounter God's word again this morning? Good Shepherd, help us become your bold acolytes, lighting the way of your truth for all to see. Help us choose honorable paths through green pastures and still waters amid the darkest valleys of our lives. For you are greater than our fears, and you know how to bring us peace. As you lay down your life for us, may we strive to live for others. We choose you this day, for no other name under heaven inspires us to greater joy. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship on this wet, chilly April Sunday morning. This morning, we're going to read an example of one of the unique literary elements that is found in the fourth gospel of the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, seven times Jesus speaks and uses what are referred to as the I am statements in his teachings to express specifically important truths in terms of his own personal character and his own mission. These I am statements are unique to John's gospel, not seen anywhere else, and add a unique perspective to understanding our Savior and how he equates himself with the great I am, as we see in the Old Testament, as we identify him with Yahweh. So this morning, as we look at what Jesus meant when he said, I am the good shepherd, we too can connect with him this morning as the great I am. But first, a story. A certain butcher had almost sold all of his poultry product one day, except for one small hen located back behind the counter. A woman entered the store and, of course, asked for a hen. The butcher weighed his one remaining chicken and said that the cost would be $4.85. Well, the woman was perplexed for a minute and said, do you have any larger hens? Do you have a larger chicken? The butcher thought really fast for a second and said, just wait a minute, I'll be right back. He went back into the storeroom, into the back of the store, and looked around, seeing if maybe he had misplaced a larger hen, which he obviously had not, but then noticed in the corner a great large barrel of ice and ice water. So he immediately threw the hen into the ice water, started stirring it around in that ice water bath, and pulled the chicken out. It looked a little bit different. It was a little bit bluer then. It looked a little bit heavier. It was soaked and frozen, and he brought the chicken back out, the same hen as one before, weighed it again, and this time he said, well, this hen weighs a little bit more. It's $5.25. The woman thought for a moment and then said, well, okay, I guess I'll take both of the hens then. Our gospel story today addresses Jesus, our risen Lord, as the good shepherd. We have all heard this designation for Jesus before. We've seen that picture of Jesus with the crooked shepherd's staff with the lamb around his neck. We've talked about Jesus as the shepherd even on Sunday nights during our study at 4 o'clock here recently. We've had this picture ingrained in our minds, but one of the vital attributes that we sometimes forget about Jesus being the good shepherd is this idea of integrity. Something the butcher was weak in this little analogy that I shared at the beginning. So let's talk about Jesus and what it truly means when he says, I am the good shepherd, because we use good for a lot of things these days, and they're not necessarily good. And really, the term that we should be saying is Jesus is the Kalos Shepherd. That's the term we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 18 this morning. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me. You can turn in your Bibles, or the pew Bibles are located in front of you or below you. Reading this passage of Jesus talking to the individuals around him about who he is and using this analogy of the Good Shepherd. Starting in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. In our text today, Jesus is before a crowd once again, telling them a short parable about a good shepherd. Now, a shepherd with integrity, none the least. A shepherd who was caring and compassionate. A shepherd willing to die for his sheep. In this story, Jesus is telling us about himself, for he is the eternal good shepherd. As we all know, Jesus used stories back in his day to speak to the people of that day, something that they can connect with. Now, while talking about shepherds in our modern day time may not connect with any individuals here, for a moment, let's see this. Raise your hand if you've ever met a shepherd. Don't raise your hand. Don't be bashful. Raise your hand if you ever met a shepherd before. I'm not going to define a sheep shepherd. Don't get theological on me. That's my job. A sheep shepherd. Raise your hand. One. All right. Put your hand down. How many of you ever met a sheep? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you would classify yourself as a shepherd because you met a sheep? That's what I thought. A shepherd is not just somebody who's met a sheep, pet a sheep, and said, oh, they look so cute. That's not what a shepherd is. You see, back in the first century time, when Jesus started talking about a shepherd, guess what? Most of the people there knew a shepherd, met a shepherd, hired a shepherd, maybe shooed a shepherd away from them. They knew shepherds. Today, we don't quite catch the analogy, but I think we can catch the point. A shepherd would protect and guard the sheep with his life, often fighting off wild animals who sought to kill and devour them. It was a lonely life, a difficult life. But if a shepherd did well, if they did their job well, everyone in the community would know and value that shepherd. This is the reason why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But what did he mean by good? What did he mean by that term, good? You see, in the Greek, which was the language that the New Testament documents were originally written in, there are two words that are translated as good into English. The first word for good in the Greek is the word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Now, agathos just implies a moral and capable quality about a person. In this case, an agathos person is good if they perform their assigned tasks well. For example, if you go to work tomorrow and complete the tasks or duties that you have on your to-do list, you are a agathos employee. That's what we all, most of the time, strive to be. We want to be an agathos person. However, there is another term for good that is translated from the Greek to English, and this is the term that Jesus is using when he says, "I am the good shepherd." He was not saying, "I am the agathos shepherd." He is saying, "I am the kalos shepherd." You see, the word kalos in Greek, which is translated English, not only encompasses all the meanings of the word agathos, all the attributes of doing everything that you're supposed to do, being the employees that you're supposed to be, but it also adds the qualities of being genuine. It adds the qualities of having good integrity. It adds the qualities of beauty and magnificence, of being praiseworthy. You see, a kalos employee not only completes the duties on that to-do list, but is also the employee that the boss can always count on. This is the employee that all the other employees go to seek for help, or for a kind word, or for a listening ear. This is the employee that whenever someone else is needed to be placed up or represent the company or the business, this is the employee that the boss goes and gets. This is a kalos employee. When Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd, he is talking about being a kalos shepherd. This is the shepherd that goes far beyond just doing the common work of the shepherd. It is a type of goodness that would make you feel secure and at peace. A goodness that is permeated through everything he does with love. A love that is deep, that the good shepherd would lay down his life for his very sheep. Who are we talking about? We're not talking about just any individual here. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about our risen Lord. We're talking about the one a couple weeks ago who gave it all for you and for me. We're talking about our kalos shepherd. Jesus was not a hired hand, one seeking to get paid to just complete a job. He was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Our Lord is the kalos shepherd. He will not flee when trouble comes. He willingly laid down his life so that we might gain something. We gained eternal life for him being kalos. The kalos shepherd loved us so much, he cares for us so much, that he willingly sacrificed it all, not for himself, but for us. You see, Jesus did not die as a martyr. This is one of the misconstrued ideas in the world today. Some people will say, well, Jesus, he just gave up his life as a martyr, just like lots of other people do. You're wrong. He doesn't die as a martyr killed by men. He willingly laid down his life for us, his sheep. 5 times in our text today, Jesus clearly affirmed the sacrificial nature of his death. The kalos shepherd cares for us so deeply that we are told that he knows each one of us, not just by name, but intimately. He knows you. He knows the real you. Not the made up you. Not the you that you like to show off to everybody. He knows what you are. When you wake up in the morning before you put everything on, he knows you. He knows the intimate you. Now, back to us, the sheep. Sheep, by the very nature, are not particularly bright animals. We might think they are cute and cuddly, probably when you met them. Oh, they're adorable. No, sheep are dumb. Sheep are just plain dumb animals. They do not rank high on the list of overachieving creatures. They are easily distracted, easily led astray. A few years ago, while traveling through across Europe, a pastor found his bus that he was traveling on parked next to a double-decker truck. This was one of those trucks where there are two levels of storage spaces for live animals. We've seen these trucks before, right? This time, it was loaded with, you guessed it, sheep. In this truck, there must have been at least 100 sheep crammed into this one vehicle, all on their way to, yes, you guessed it, it was going to the slaughterhouse. As the pastor observed the animals, these sheep, they were behaving rather amusingly. Some were sticking out their noses, sniffing the air around them. Others were sticking and peeking their eyes out, looking at the new surroundings that they had never seen before. They had never seen what they were seeing because they had been on the farm before and hadn't seen all this new and exciting stuff. They were fascinated by everything around them. Little did they know where they were headed. And Liz, I know, I apologize. It's breaking her heart over here. She's squirming. I can see it. While we might smile at the simple-mindedness of the sheep, it's also a vivid illustration of the human state. On a daily basis, we are offered joyrides, the promises of pleasure and adventure, opportunities that seem to excite our ambition for recognition and power, intimacy, and even meaning in life. But knowingly or even unknowingly, we accept invitations for rides would take us on roads that could result to the spiritual slaughterhouse. Sadly, like the sheep that we are, we often are not aware of the looming danger. By the time we arrive at our ultimate destination, it's too late to escape. As John Wesley once said, sheep are prone to wander. We're prone to wonder, and most often be searched for and brought back to the fold because of their wandering. Unlike the Pharisees of the day in first century, who had no loving concern for the sheep themselves, all they wanted to make sure is they walked in a line, which that's not what they did, the callow shepherd knows his sheep by name, by name. The word know, used here in the passage as well, is much more than intellectual awareness. It speaks of an intimate relationship between God and his people. The callow shepherd knows his sheep personally and therefore knows best how to minister to them as they need it. The callow shepherd can call each of his sheep by name, and he knows their very nature. While all sheep are all alike in their essential nature, each sheep has its own distinct characteristics. The callow shepherd recognizes these traits when he looks at them. He calls them by name. One sheep may be afraid of high places, the other sheep of dark shadows. The callow shepherd will consider the needs of each sheep as he tends to the flock as a whole. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, when we're thinking about the apostles, for example, that none of them are exactly the same? Or alike. They all have different personalities. I encourage you to go back and read throughout Scripture the 12 apostles and disciples and see what we know individually about each one of them. Lots of studies have been done on them. They're all different. Peter was impulsive and outspoken. Thomas, who I talked about a couple weeks ago, was literal and a little hesitant. Andrew was a people person who was always willing to bring someone new to Jesus. Jesus knew each one of his disciples personally, and he met their needs personally. That's what we saw just a couple weeks ago with Philip. Our callow shepherd knows our individual nature, and our characteristics. And he also knows our individual needs. And if we are honest, often we don't even know our own needs ourselves. But he does. Our Lord does. Our Kalos Shepherd does. And he leads us where we need to go. Psalm 23, the beautiful psalm that we read yesterday in a funeral as we celebrated the life of Kay King, a beautiful psalm that we will read tomorrow as we celebrate the life of Susie Louder, a beautiful psalm that we've been looking at on Sunday nights and Sunday afternoons in our Bible study, a beautiful psalm that we read at the beginning of our worship service this morning, is a beautiful description of how the Kalos Shepherd cares for his sheep. In the pastures, by the waters, even through the valleys, the sheep need not fear. Because why? Because the Kalos Shepherd is caring for them and meeting their needs. As the Kalos Shepherd cares for the sheep begin to know the shepherd as well. They begin to know him better by experiencing his daily care and by listening to his voice. By listening to his voice. Did you know before the time of refrigerators, people used what were called ice houses to preserve their food? You see, ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In the wintertime, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut. They were hauled to these ice houses, and they were covered with sawdust to keep the frozen nature of the ice. Often, the ice would last well into the summertime. One day, a man who was working in an ice house lost a valuable watch, one that had been given to him by his father, and he was devastated. He searched diligently for this watch, carefully raking through all the sawdust in the ice house, yet he simply could not find it. All the other workers started helping him, and they could not find this lost treasure. However, there was a small boy who had heard about this fruitless search, and he slipped into the ice house during the noon lunch hour break. And soon, just a few minutes later, emerged with that lost watch. Amazed, the men asked, "How in the world had he found it?" The boy replied this, "I closed the door, I laid down in the sawdust, and I kept very, very still. And then I just listened. I listened, and soon I heard the watch ticking and ticking, and I was able to walk straight to where it was." The question is not whether the Kalos Shepherd is speaking, but whether we, as the sheep, are still listening, quiet enough to hear him. If you're not clear as to the sound of the Kalos Shepherd's voice, then dwell in his presence and be still. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word. Allow his word and his words to become a conversation between you and him. Go beyond just reading the words. Words are not words when they are holy. Quiet yourself and listen to what they are telling you. Listen to the voice of the Kalos Shepherd. Enter into his presence and listen for his voice. The question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are being still enough, quiet enough to hear. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know the Kalos Shepherd? Do you really know him? In closing this morning, a famous actor was the after-dinner speaker at a large function. When he stood up to speak, he invited the audience to choose a poem for him to recite to the crowd. There was a long silence until a retired pastor slowly raised his hand and asked for the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor was slightly taken aback, but agreed, provided that the pastor would recite the 23rd Psalm right after him. The pastor agreed. The actor recited Psalm 23 and received a standing ovation from the crowd that was gathered there. But then the elderly pastor stood up and he recited the 23rd Psalm word by word. When he had finished, there was not a dry eye in the entire house. The actor slowly came over to the pastor and he spoke to the guests as a whole. You see, the difference between his version and my version, the actor said, is this. He said, I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know the Kalos Shepherd today? Do you truly know him? Seek him and you will hear his voice. I promise you will. He is calling you by name. Just listen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Kalos Shepherd, who knows us by name, who calls us by name, who was there guiding us and leading us every step of the way. And may we just be quiet and listen and follow the one who is leading us daily. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe for the first time today, you recognize that Kalos Shepherd is your Savior. Maybe Jesus, you're ready to embrace Jesus as the one who has brought you salvation. I'll be down front. Come, let me embrace you and share what it means to follow him. Maybe you're looking for a church family that is a group of good sheep who are seeking to follow the Kalos Shepherd. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Or maybe today you've been struggling with something. Maybe you've been battling or not listening or just can't hear him. The altar's open. Let me pray for you down front. Whatever you need to do today, don't put it off. Listen, make that decision. Let's stand and sing. As you leave this place today, know that you leave not alone with a good shepherd that is guiding you every step of the way. Listen for his voice. He is speaking to you. Go in peace.